97.1 FM Talk. On demand audio.
Hey, good morning to you. It is a Thursday morning, the 19th day of September. Thanks for listening to the Mark Cox Morning Show. I'm Mark. Scott J. Gow in studio with us this morning, filling in for Kim St. Ange, who is on a vacation this week. Well-deserved for her. Carl Middleman in here, and of course, Sue Thomas with all of your traffic. Thanks for being here. Of course, the show's live. It's also on demand for you on the Odyssey app. You can download the podcast. We are live on Rumble right now. We are live on X. If you want to go there and watch the show live, having a few audio difficulties in this temporary studio, but with any luck, if our engineers are spot on, we'll be back in our regular digs tomorrow.
Yeah. Fingers crossed.
I walked in there this morning just to look and see, and everything appears normal in our studio. It just, you can't tell if the wires are all plugged in or not. So we're waiting to see on that.
Well, getting the new board in is half the battle. The other half is
the
getting
plugging
all
in.
Yeah, getting all the settings right.
Yeah, so I wouldn't be surprised to get back in there and find out there are still things that aren't working the way we would like them to work.
Ghosts and in the machine.
There could be ghosts in there. We'll see. A little upgrade there, a little technology upgrade, and with that always comes a little bit of pain, whether it's a new phone that you don't quite know how to operate or some new computer system or like flying birds on your phone that you can tap. We were talking about it. I've never heard of that before.
Oh, well, radio doesn't stop.
So
if you get a new board in there, you got to keep going.
Yep.
You got to keep going somewhere else.
Radio keeps going. That's very true. But we do have lots to get to yet. We got Jim Talent coming up here shortly. Anxious to get his take. You know, at one time, Jim Talent was on the short list to be the Secretary of Defense under the previous Trump administration, and he has his finger on a lot of these foreign policy issues. I haven't had anybody on yet, really, from an official point of view, to talk about the absolutely brilliant chess move that we believe the Mossad pulled off this week with these pagers blowing up, then the two-way radios blowing up. Apparently, satellite dishes were blowing up. There's stuff going on all over Lebanon, and Mossad's over there, you know, giving the side eye because they're like, don't look at us. We don't know how that happened. Nobody's taking credit for it yet, but you know it was the Israelis because these are their enemies that this is happening to. So I'm anxious to get Jim Talent's take on all that. And then we're going to talk to the former lieutenant governor of this great state of California, which is a great state of confusion these days. He's the former lieutenant governor, maybe the last Republican to ever get elected to statewide office in the state of California before they just build a fence around it, and it'll be like Escape from L.A., like that movie. Maybe that's what they need to do out there. I don't know. We'll talk to him at 7:35. Right now, though, I want to get to our top stories. Please, Carl.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
But I'd say, baby, who could do it like me? Nobody can do it like me. How great am I?
Donald Trump, last night up in New York, he held a rally up there, packed a huge stadium in New York, an arena, and he said he called up his wife, and I said to her, baby, who's better than me? I'm the greatest of all time.
And just because you legally possess a gun in the sanctity of your locked home doesn't mean that we're not going to walk into that home and check to see if you're being responsible and safe in the way you conduct your affairs.
Should we have any reason to believe she does not still believe that? That was Kamala Harris when she was still a United States senator who believed the Second Amendment did not apply to you, nor did the Fifth, and she should be able to walk into your house and do whatever she wants.
And I hear somebody yell, you can't bring that hat in here. And I thought she was joking, and I kind of went, oh, ha, 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 you know, and kept walking toward the second checkpoint.
Yeah, this is now, of course, I'm talking Cardinals here. I'm talking football Cardinals. That lady is a Trump fan. When she went to the Arizona Cardinals game last weekend, she was told she had to take her MAGA hat off and throw it in the garbage before they would let her into the stadium.
Whoa. I didn't hear that one.
The way that they are currently terrorizing
the people of Springfield with their racist smear about eating dogs and cats. Like, this is the most vicious, despicable, lie-filled campaign I have ever seen.
Woo, Sarah Longwell really hates conservatives. She was on CNN yesterday going sideways on the viciousness of the Trump campaign. Why are they going after these poor Haitians in Springfield? They're spreading hate and vicious, despicable lies. Well, it's not a lie that in Haiti, a large percentage of the population kills livestock and eats it on a regular basis. Birds, cats, dogs. That's not a surprise. It's also not fake news. And they transplanted 20,000 of them into a community of 50,000 people, and people are witnessing things they would normally see in a third world country like Haiti. Right? It's just a fact. I've played the sound bites for you. I could play them again, but you've heard them all at this point from the people testifying to the Springfield City Council. Every month, they go to every city council meeting, and they're like, I can't believe what I'm seeing. People urinating on the side of the road, people beheading ducks in local parks and making bird stew. I mean, it's happening unless you listen to the city manager of Springfield who wants to tell you it's not happening. Remember the scene in Jaws where the mayor is being interviewed by the media about reports of a shark attack and whether or not it's safe to go in the water, and he doesn't want to ruin their holiday weekend, so he looks into the TV camera and he goes, everything is fine here in, where was it, Amity?
Yes.
Everything is fine here in Amity. There's nothing to see. Come and enjoy the beach. And just as he finishes his sentence, there are screams in the water behind him as more people are getting eaten. That's the manager of Springfield, Ohio right now. That's who it is. Listen to J.D. J.D. Vance was asked about this yesterday by the New York Times, who accused him of making everything up. Go to cut six, please.
Something new that we're seeing on the campaign trail. You've said, regardless of what the exact precise facts are here, it's worth it to make the larger point of in town overrun by immigration.
Well, I'd say, Mike, I'll you ask your question, yes, but no, I didn't say regardless of the precise facts. I said you have to listen to what people are saying. Right, the media has tried to say now for days that I've made up this story. I haven't made up anything. I've just listened to people who are telling me these things. And when I said, and the media always does this, they're very dishonest, when I say that I created a story, I'm talking about the media story. By focusing the press's attention on what's going on in Springfield, I'm not making anything up. I'm just telling you what my own constituents are telling me.
Which we've heard from his own constituents who have testified to the Springfield City Council. So the left wants to lose their mind about these stories about these poor Haitians. But the truth is they have radically changed this small town in Ohio, and the left does not want you to talk about that at all. They hate that because it undermines what they're getting away with. All right, coming up, Jim Talent. I want to talk to him about the piece of magic pulled off by, I believe, the Mossad in Israel by blowing up about 3,000 Hezbollah terrorists at the same time. We'll be right back.
Members of the Lebanese armed group Hezbollah, including fighters and medics, have been seriously injured when the pagers they used to communicate exploded.
Yes, this is very much breaking news. It's being described as the biggest security breach the group has been subjected to in nearly a year of the war with Israel. We have Mark White here in the studio to explain what on earth is happening. This sounds extremely unusual. Pagers just erupting, exploding.
Talent joining us this morning. Jim, I had to take that report from British media because I love their accents so much, but I also can't really believe what it appears Israeli intelligence has pulled off with these Hezbollah pagers exploding and two-way radios, and now I understand like maybe satellite dishes blowing up across Lebanon.
Yeah, when I read the report yesterday of what they'd done with the pagers, I thought to myself, well, now Hezbollah is going to have to use landlines, cell phones, walkie-talkies. And I thought, you know, the problem with those are that you can jam them or you can intercept them. I didn't immediately think, well, the Israelis have got those wired with explosives, too. And yeah. So now they're blowing up the walkie-talkies. You know, this is significant for a lot of reasons, but one of them that hasn't been mentioned is that Israel's good at taking out top leaders of these various terrorist proxy groups that Iran sponsors after Biden has empowered Iran for the last 3.5 years. But they then promote from the bench, of course. But right. Israel's wiping out the bench. You see what I mean? In other words, these are the people, or maybe they're wiping out the whole farm system. So it's going to be difficult for Hezbollah to replace its leaders after the war starts, which I think is an inevitability. I think Israel is going to have to attack.
One of my favorite memes from yesterday showed the new communication system for Hezbollah, and it was two cups and a string.
Yeah, exactly.
They got to go.
Well, they'll use couriers, but you know, couriers. I mean, that's like 19th century stuff, right?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
It doesn't move communications very quickly. So yeah, this is a sign of Israeli capabilities, and of course, it has a tremendous psychological effect as well. I mean, would you want to be a middle-level Hezbollah operative right now? I don't know. I sure wouldn't want to be wearing a communications device.
Well, somebody pointed out that what this has also provided for Israel is a roadmap, almost like a family tree of Hezbollah, that they'll be looking at the names of the injured and the dead to find out if they already had them on their radar or not. It'll be an intelligence gathering operation as well, because wasn't it one of the ambassadors for Iran also had a pager that blew up? So you know,
right,
this guy was using that to stay in touch with these terrorists.
Yes. Yeah, so then you use your signals intelligence to be intercepting communications regarding the injured. And so you now broaden your understanding of their network of contacts. Yes, that's exactly correct. And Israel is very good at it at all times. And now, after almost a year of war, and that's basically what they've been involved in, you know, if you have good people and you have good systems, and then you have to use them in crisis situations, they just get better. And Israel's gotten better. The IDF's gotten better.
Well,
Mark, and that's one reason why it's a pretty good idea for the United States to be an ally of Israel. They're the most powerful country in the region. So why is it that Biden has been trying to build, you know, a security arrangement around partnering with Iran? I mean, I just can't.
When you read yesterday that Iran was stealing campaign information from the Trump people and trying to give it to the Harris team, it shows you who Iran is supporting in this. They don't want to have to deal with Donald Trump anymore because the Harris-Biden administration empowered them.
Exactly. You remember Trump's maximum pressure policy against Iran, and that was also, if I can say so, an America First policy, because we have a stake in a balance, an equilibrium, a peace in the Middle East that is not dominated by Iran, and that's what he was building with the Abraham Accords.
Yes.
He understood, you know, our alliance with Israel is good for us, if you will, and it's not just Israel, of course. He built a partnership with Egypt, Jordan, the Gulf states, and I think the Saudis would have joined the Abraham Accords by now if Trump had been reelected. So, yeah, there's no area of foreign policy where the choice is clear between Trump and Harris.
Could not.
She just put out an ad in Michigan playing clips of her from the Democratic National Convention saying she wanted a peace deal in Gaza, and she omitted the line about how Israel has the right to defend herself. I mean, she didn't think that was worth telling Michigan voters.
No, not of course not, because she doesn't want the truth to come out in this at all. All right, Jim, thank you again for your time. Have a great week.
You're welcome.
You bet. Former Senator Jim Talent there. Coming up, the former Lieutenant Governor of California who used to serve with Kamala Harris.
I was raised as a middle-class kid. I grew up a middle class kid.
I believe in the ambition, the aspirations, the dreams of the American people.
Be focusing on, again, the aspirations and the dreams.
But their ambition, their aspirations, and their dreams. I intend to create an opportunity economy.
Creating an opportunity economy.
What I'm talking about in terms of building an opportunity economy.
Well, you've heard that a time or two. That is Kamala Harris, who's the Democrat nominee for president right now. And if you listen closely to a lot of her interviews, it's a lot of the same word salad over and over and over again. We got a guest this morning and knows a thing or two about Kamala Harris. He is former Lieutenant Governor of California, Abel Maldonado. Got him on the phone right now. And Mr. Lieutenant Governor, thanks for joining us. How are you?
Mark, it's my honor to be with you this morning. How are you?
I'm doing fine. I would point out to people that you served as Lieutenant Governor under Arnold Schwarzenegger, correct?
That is correct, and we had a front row seat of Kamala Harris.
I'm assuming because you've been involved in at the mayoral level out there, and then, of course, you were in the State House and the Senate. You've kind of watched her career from her rise in San Francisco, right?
Oh, my God. We've seen it all over here, Mark. And for the listeners, just take a look at this beautiful city of San Francisco, what has happened to it. It says it all, Mark. We've watched her start as a deputy district attorney in Oakland. We watched her as a district attorney in San Francisco. And those two cities are just a mess. And I'm not speaking out of term. I love California. I'm a California former lieutenant governor. I was born and raised in this state. And Kamala Harris and her group have destroyed California. And that's the reason that millions of people have left our state and continue to leave, because of Kamala Harris. And I sit here back and I'm shocked just to see the polling that goes out throughout our country that it's even close, because she is a socialist liberal from San Francisco.
Yeah, I just want to talk about perceptions for a moment, because obviously we're in St. Louis, Missouri, as we talk to you. I think that a lot of people are surprised that there are still Republicans in California. Maybe you can give us the truth about that. There are very red areas of California. They're just overwhelmed by the population centers, correct?
Absolutely. We have to remember that during the 90s, we had 16 years of Republican gubernatorial office holders with George Duke Majan and Pete Wilson. And then all of a sudden, things started to go sour for us here in California. And what happened? Instead of, and I hate to say this to you, Mark, but I stayed here to fight, but a lot of people just says, I can't fight these folks, and left and started to leave. And in the 90s, registration here, we had 41% Republican registration. Today, I think we got down to 21. I think we're back up to 22% registration. And what's happened is our voters have just left. And there's a lot of voters here that would love to leave but can't leave. So they're stuck. And that's the reason. Can California come back? It has to take a miracle. People have to come back to California. Currently, we're not seeing that situation.
Yeah, we're talking to Abel Maldonado, former Lieutenant Governor of California, former state senator. I want to play a soundbite from Senator Kamala Harris, because she now tells us that she and Tim Walz are gun owners and they're not coming after anybody's gun. But listen to cut 10 here. And she was with Gavin Newsom when she said this.
Responsible behaviors among everybody in the community. And just because you legally possess a gun in the sanctity of your locked home doesn't mean that we're not going to walk into that home and check to see if you're being responsible and safe in the way you conduct your affairs.
I mean, how many constitutional violations did she sum up in one statement there? And why should we believe that she doesn't still believe those things?
I mean, somebody on her campaign has told her, you need to transform yourself and be somebody totally different that you were in San Francisco, because that's not going to jive. I mean, on guns, Mark, every time there was an issue with guns in California, she would try to rip them away. Mandatory buyback programs here in California. If there was something that, if a criminal, an illegal alien criminal created something, she would go out. At one time, she eliminated gun shows here in California, where people would go to a gun show, maybe purchase a firearm, just go by and look at fire. She is anti-gun. She's been anti-gun since the get-go. And this notion that I own a gun, I really like to have a fact check on that of when did she get it? Is she the only reason she has a gun is because she was a former prosecutor? But other than that, I don't think she has one.
I'd love somebody to ask her that. She'll never talk to I don't think a journalist who would have the guts to ask it, but exactly what brand of gun do you own? What's the model? When's the last time you fired a gun? Because I think she uses that as a just as a deflection line, right?
Of course it is. Yeah. Everything's been a deflection line for the for Kamala Harris, Mark. Everything on guns, the Green New Deal, now she's against it. Open border, she opened the floodgates. In California, she opened the floodgates. And now she's like, well, maybe some border control. I mean, we have to remember that Bernie Sanders said it the best, Mark. He said, she's got to change in order to win. Once she wins, she'll go back to the Kamala Harris we all know. That says it all, who she is and why she's running. Bernie Sanders is a socialist in America, in the U.S. Senate. Kamala Harris, by GovTrack, was said to be more liberal than Bernie Sanders. That's San Francisco. And people need to remember San Francisco, Barbara Boxer, Jerry Brown, Dianne Feinstein. It goes on and on and on, Mark.
Now, you, Mr. Maldonado, you ran against Gavin Newsom. I had a conversation with somebody one time who knew him very well, who described him as very much of a chameleon that would he would do and say whatever he needed to do to get elected. I mean, it sounds like you're describing Gavin Newsom and Kamala Harris in the same sentence.
Identical. The only difference is that Gavin Newsom will do interviews. Kamala Harris runs from interviews. That's yeah. The difference, Mark. But they're identical. They are identical on every policy. When Kamala would say something, I mean, let's just, for example, real quick, Mark, Edwin Ramos is a criminal San Salvadorian MS-13 gang member. He robbed a person. Kamala Harris let him go. Kamala Harris was supposed to call immigration department. She did not. Second time, he gets pulled over, grand theft. Kamala Harris was supposed to prosecute him. She put him in juvenile hall. She was supposed to send him back to El Salvador. She did not. The third time, he was pulled over. He had a loaded gun that was in a double murder homicide. He was let go. They couldn't prove it was his. She could have called INS. On the fourth time, Edwin Ramos murdered a father and two sons. Kamala Harris says, okay, we got to end gun shows. We got to do something about this. But she is a socialist liberal from San Francisco. Nothing else. All this new stuff is fake, just like Tim Walz.
It's true. And, you know, I did see the story this week about Gavin Newsom signing this law to ban. I don't know. Is it a misinformation law where if they determine what you've posted on the internet is they disagree with it, they can basically shut you down? Is that correct?
Absolutely. And thank God there were some issues on the bill where giving illegal immigrants $150,000 to buy a home.
Wow.
I mean, it's just we're not making this up, Mark. It's what California is. It's what Kamala Harris has been and has done for the last 20 years. Kamala Harris is dangerously liberal policies were disastrous for California, and she wants to take that to the rest of America. She's just trying to hide and change things, Mark, just to get elected. Once she's elected, watch out. So, I mean, now she's saying that she wants opportunity economy. What the hell is an opportunity economy? We can't afford groceries. We can't, I mean, just simple things. I don't know how she's trying to hoodwink the swing states like she hoodwinked us.
Yeah, it's a great point. Mr. Maldonado, what do you...
I was raised as a middle-class kid.
I grew up a middle-class kid. I grew up a middle-class kid.
I believe in the ambition, the aspirations, the dreams of the American people.
You're focusing on, again, the aspirations and the dreams.
But their ambition, their aspirations, and their dreams.
I intend to create an opportunity economy.
Creating an opportunity economy.
What I'm talking about in terms of building an opportunity economy.
Well, you've heard that a time or two. That is Kamala Harris, who's the Democrat nominee for president right now. And if you listen closely to a lot of her interviews, it's a lot of the same word salad over and over and over again. We got a guest this morning and knows a thing or two about Kamala Harris. He is former Lieutenant Governor of California, Abel Maldonado. Got him on the phone right now. And Mr. Lieutenant Governor, thanks for joining us. How are you?
Mark, it's my honor to be with you this morning. How are you?
I'm doing fine. I would point out to people that you served as Lieutenant Governor under Arnold Schwarzenegger, correct?
That is correct, and we had a front row seat of Kamala Harris.
I'm assuming because you've been involved in at the mayoral level out there, and then, of course, you were in the State House and the Senate. You've kind of watched her career from her rise in San Francisco, right?
Oh, my God. We've seen it all over here, Mark. And for the listeners, just take a look at this beautiful city of San Francisco, what has happened to it. It says it all, Mark. We've watched her start as a deputy district attorney in Oakland. We watched her as a district attorney in San Francisco. And those two cities are just a mess. And I'm not speaking out of term. I love California. I'm a California former lieutenant governor. I was born and raised in this state. And Kamala Harris and her group have destroyed California. And that's the reason that millions of people have left our state and continue to leave because of Kamala Harris. And I sit here back and I'm shocked just to see the polling that goes out throughout our country that it's even close because she is a socialist liberal from San Francisco.
Yeah, I just want to talk about perceptions for a moment because obviously we're in St. Louis, Missouri, as we talk to you. I think that a lot of people are surprised that there are still Republicans in California. Maybe you can give us the truth about that. There are very red areas of California. They're just overwhelmed by the population centers, correct?
Absolutely. We have to remember that during the 90s, we had 16 years of Republican gubernatorial office holders with George Duke Majan and Pete Wilson. And then all of a sudden, things started to go sour for us here in California. And what happened? Instead of, and I hate to say this to you, Mark, but I stayed here to fight. But a lot of people just says, I can't fight these folks and left and started to leave. And in the 90s, registration here, we had 41% Republican registration. Today, I think we got down to 21. I think we're back up to 22% registration. And what's happened is our voters have just left. And there's a lot of voters here that would love to leave but can't leave. So they're stuck. And that's the reason. Can California come back? It has to take a miracle. People have to come back to California. Currently, we're not seeing that situation.
Yeah, we're talking to Abel Maldonado, former lieutenant governor of California, former state senator. I want to play a soundbite from Senator Kamala Harris, because she now tells us that she and Tim Walz are gun owners and they're not coming after anybody's gun. But listen to cut 10 here. And she was with Gavin Newsom when she said this.
Responsible behaviors among everybody in the community. And just because you legally possess a gun in the sanctity of your locked home doesn't mean that we're not going to walk into that home and check to see if you're being responsible and safe in the way you conduct your affair.
I mean, how many constitutional violations did she sum up in one statement there? And why should we believe that she doesn't still believe those things?
I mean, somebody on her campaign has told her, you need to transform yourself and be somebody totally different that you were in San Francisco, because that's not going to jive. I mean, on guns, Mark, every time there was an issue with guns in California, she would try to rip them away. Mandatory buyback programs here in California. If there was something that, if a criminal, an illegal alien criminal created something, she would go out. At one time, she eliminated gun shows here in California, where people would go to a gun show, maybe purchase a firearm, just go by and look at fire. She is anti-gun. She's been anti-gun since the get-go. And this notion that I own a gun, I really like to have a fact check on that of when did she get it? Is she the only reason she has a gun is because she was a former prosecutor. But other than that, I don't think she has one.
I'd love somebody to ask her that. She'll never talk to, I don't think, a journalist who would have the guts to ask it, but exactly what brand of gun do you own? What's the model? When's the last time you fired a gun? Because I think she uses that as a deflection line, right?
Of course it is. Yeah. Everything's been a deflection line for Kamala Harris, Mark. Everything on guns, the Green New Deal, now she's against it. Open border, she opened the floodgates. In California, she opened the floodgates. And now she's like, for maybe some border control. I mean, we have to remember that Bernie Sanders said it the best, Mark. He said, she's got to change in order to win. Once she wins, she'll go back to the Kamala Harris we all know. That says it all, who she is and why she's running. Bernie Sanders is a socialist in America, in the U.S. Senate. Kamala Harris, by GovTrack, was said to be more liberal than Bernie Sanders. That's San Francisco. And people need to remember San Francisco, Barbara Boxer, Jerry Brown, Dianne Feinstein. It goes on and on and on, Mark.
Now, you, Mr. Maldonado, you ran against Gavin Newsom. I had a conversation with somebody one time who knew him very well, who described him as very much of a chameleon, that would he would do and say whatever he needed to do to get elected. I mean, it sounds like you're describing Gavin Newsom and Kamala Harris in the same sentence.
Identical. The only difference is that Gavin Newsom will do interviews. Kamala Harris runs from interviews. That's the difference, Mark. But they're identical. They are identical on every policy. When Kamala would say something, I mean, let's just, for example, real quick, Mark Edwin Ramos is a criminal San Salvadoran MS-13 gang member. He robbed a person. Kamala Harris let him go. Kamala Harris was supposed to call immigration department. She did not. Second time, he gets pulled over, grand theft. Kamala Harris was supposed to prosecute him. She put him in juvenile hall. She was supposed to send him back to El Salvador. She did not. The third time, he was pulled over. He had a loaded gun that was in a double murder homicide. He was let go. They couldn't prove it was his. She could have called INS. On the fourth time, Edwin Ramos murdered a father and two sons. Kamala Harris says, okay, we got to end gun shows. We got to do something about this. But she is a liberal, socialist liberal from San Francisco. Nothing else. All this new stuff is fake, just like Tim Walz.
It's true. And, you know, I did see the story this week about Gavin Newsom signing this law to ban. I don't know. Is it a misinformation law where if they determine what you've posted on the internet is they disagree with it, they can basically shut you down? Is that correct?
Absolutely. And thank God there were some issues on the bill where giving illegal immigrants $150,000 to buy a home.
Wow.
I mean, it's just we're not making this up, Mark. It's what California is. It's what Kamala Harris has been and has done for the last 20 years. Kamala Harris is dangerously liberal policies were disastrous for California, and she wants to take that to the rest of America. She's just trying to hide and change things, Mark, just to get elected. Once she's elected, watch out. So, I mean, now she's saying that she wants opportunity economy. What the hell is an opportunity economy? We can't afford groceries. We can't, I mean, just simple things. I don't know how she's trying to hoodwink the swing states like she hoodwinked us.
Yeah, it's a great point. Mr. Maldonado, what are you up to these days now that you're out of politics?
You know, we have a farm here. We have a ranch. We grow broccoli and cauliflower, and we have cattle. And that's why I'm telling you that Tim Walz is a fake, because anybody who wears boots, Wranglers, a Carhartt shirt, and a camouflage hat in California never, ever puts tampons in fourth-grade boys' restrooms. Tim Walz is a fake. He's a mini Gavin. He's trying to be a mini Gavin, Mark. And that's why she chose him.
Yes.
They are on a mission to liberalize America, to socialize America. And today when you ask me, what are you doing today? I'm working for Donald J. Trump. I'm a volunteer. I'm not getting paid one penny. I don't need a job. I don't need anything. I need to tell America what Kamala Harris did to destroy my home state of California.
Well, and you're doing a great job of it. Former Lieutenant Governor Abel Maldonado, thank you for your time.
Thank you, Mark, so much.
You bet. Good to get him on here this morning, hearing from somebody who's dealt with Kamala just about her entire career in the state of California. And he's absolutely spot on with that one, I can tell you. Coming up, we Kim is on vacation this week. So we're going to get to Mr. Scott Jagow here in a minute with Scott on the Spot. We'll be right back.
Not Kim on a whim, but Scott on the Spot.
Scott on the Spot is proudly brought to you by Missouri Brush Control. Enjoy your land the way you've always dreamed of. Visit MissouriBrushControl.com.
I'm proud of it.
Yeah, you should be. Absolutely.
Now, I want to dive a little bit deeper on what is going on in the Middle East in terms of these pagers. Then it was walkie-talkies yesterday, and now they're saying solar energy systems in people's homes have exploded. I looked through this in terms of the pagers thing.
Okay.
The experts said it probably was up to 2 years in the making, this plan. Because you got to think about this. The probably the Israelis infiltrated somehow and got the message out to Hezbollah that they can't use cell phones anymore because they're too obvious.
Tracking them.
Tracking. Yeah. But right. I think Israel was behind that messaging in order
possibly.
To get in order to get them to use the pagers that they purchased and set up to explode. But what's incredible is not only could it take up to 2 years to make this thing happen, but the pagers worked correctly for 6 months. I mean, that is some tradecraft. That is some Hollywood scripting right there. They worked for 6 months, and then all of a sudden, simultaneously, they explode.
They stopped working.
And then they had the walkie-talkies are the second wave of this, and they're saying that, you know, Hezbollah is completely humiliated by these attacks. They've lost a lot of their members who earlier Jim Talent was saying that is the, you know, the next wave of leadership might be gone from Hezbollah. But what is Hezbollah going to do? You know they're going to retaliate. Can they do anything? But this does indicate that there's probably going to be a wider war in the Middle East. And I don't think that's what we want. But Israel is not saying, you know, that they did this, of course. But you know they did.
I saw a video yesterday. In fact, I meant to edit it earlier and I forgot to do it. It's a video of Benjamin Netanyahu, but they're not speaking Hebrew. They're not speaking English. And the guy says to him, because there's closed captioning, people are comparing you to James Bond.
Yeah.
And he throws on a pair of black sunglasses and he goes, "No. It's Netanyahu, Benjamin Netanyahu," and he walks off out of the screen. So he's not taking credit for it, but they're kind of with a wink and a nod taking credit for it.
Another fact that I found, the Japanese company whose name was on the walkie-talkies that exploded says they discontinued that model a decade ago, and they had warned about fake versions. So somehow, I guess the Israelis got a hold of these fake versions. They were saying at a funeral, you know, people were taking batteries out of their cell phones, and then other people were unplugging all of the appliances in their house. I mean, the paranoia is really intense right now.
You wouldn't know what to do. Do you go out and get on your scooter, or are you afraid it's going to blow up when you turn it on?
Exactly.
The Babylon Bee nailed this the best. Their headline yesterday was, "Hezbollah starting to think they shouldn't have gotten pagers from Levi Goldbromstein's Pager Emporium."
Yeah, there are a lot of good jokes and memes out there.
Yes,
but it is a serious situation because, again, we have no idea in which direction this is going to go now, and Israel might be redirecting their attention from the Gaza war to Hezbollah, and we don't know the ramifications of that. So we do need to keep an eye on it.
Well, here's somebody joked about this yesterday. How do we know that every cell phone we buy doesn't have something like that loaded into it? I mean, you don't have any way of knowing. And this was apparently, from what I read, they figured out a way to put the explosives in the batteries. And when they set them off, they had some code they could put in that would cause the batteries to overheat, which then caused the explosion. Well, as we know with iPhones, sometimes they can overheat.
Right.
I mean, I'm not saying the Chinese would try something like that, but most of your phones are put together in China.
Well, I would hope that U.S. intelligence is taking note of what has just happened.
Yes.
And being aware that, hey, you know, terrorists could try to do that here in the United States.
So, does anybody here still use pagers?
Yeah.
Doctors
do. Do doctors still use them?
Yes, because they're more reliable than cell phones.
Huh.
Well, there's a good point there. Hopefully the U.S.
doctors
intelligence
may not use them for very much longer.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, no kidding. Given that piece of advice or knowledge of what just happened there. Holy cow. Coming up, Shannon Bream is going to join us. We're going to talk to her more about Donald Trump's big speech last night, his appearance on the Gutfeld, which was huge, and our friend Griff Jenkins is in here at 8:35. Stay tuned.
Get more at 971talk.com.
Not Kim on a whim, but Scott on the spot.
Scott on the spot is proudly brought to you by Missouri Brush Control. Enjoy your land the way you've always dreamed of. Visit MissouriBrushControl.com.
I'm proud of it.
Yeah, you should be. Absolutely.
Now, I want to dive a little bit deeper on what is going on in the Middle East in terms of these pagers, Then it was walkie-talkies yesterday. And now they're saying solar energy systems in people's homes have exploded. I looked through this in terms of the pagers thing.
Okay.
The experts said it probably was up to 2 years in the making, this plan. Because you got to think about this. Probably the Israelis infiltrated somehow and got the message out to Hezbollah that they can't use cell phones anymore because they're too obvious.
Tracking them.
Tracking. Yeah. But right. I think Israel was behind that messaging in order to get them to use the pagers that they purchased and set up to explode. But what's incredible is not only could it take up to 2 years to make this thing happen, but the pagers worked correctly for 6 months. I mean, that is some tradecraft. That is some Hollywood scripting right there. They worked for 6 months, and then all of a sudden, simultaneously, they explode.
They stopped working.
And then they had the walkie-talkies are the second wave of this, and they're saying that, you know, Hezbollah is completely humiliated by these attacks. They've lost a lot of their members who earlier Jim Talent was saying, that is the next wave of leadership might be gone from Hezbollah. But what is Hezbollah going to do? You know they're going to retaliate. Can they do anything? But this does indicate that there's probably going to be a wider war in the Middle East. And I don't think that's what we want. But Israel is not saying, you know, that they did this, of course. But you know they did.
I saw a video yesterday. In fact, I meant to edit it earlier and I forgot to do it. It's a video of Benjamin Netanyahu, but they're speaking. They're speaking Hebrew. They're not speaking English. And the guy says to him, because there's closed captioning, people are comparing you to James Bond.
Yeah.
And he throws on a pair of black sunglasses and he goes, "No, it's Netanyahu, Benjamin Netanyahu," and he walks off out of the screen. So he's not taking credit for it, but they're kind of with a wink and a nod taking credit for it.
Another fact that I found, the Japanese company whose name was on the walkie-talkies that exploded says they discontinued that model a decade ago, and they had warned about fake versions. So somehow, I guess the Israelis got a hold of these fake versions. They were saying at a funeral, people were taking batteries out of their cell phones, and then other people were unplugging all of the appliances in their house. I mean, the paranoia is really intense right now.
You wouldn't know what to do. Do you go out and get on your scooter, or are you afraid it's going to blow up when you turn it on?
Exactly.
The Babylon Bee nailed this the best. Their headline yesterday was, "Hezbollah starting to think they shouldn't have gotten pagers from Levi Goldbromstein's Pager Emporium."
Yeah, there are a lot of good jokes and memes out
there. Yes.
But it is a serious situation because, again, we have no idea in which direction this is going to go now. And Israel might be redirecting their attention from the Gaza war to Hezbollah, and we don't know the ramifications of that. So we do need to keep an eye on it.
Well, here's somebody joked about this yesterday. How do we know that every cell phone we buy doesn't have something like that loaded into it? I mean, you don't have any way of knowing. And this was apparently, from what I read, they figured out a way to put the explosives in the batteries. And when they set them off, they had some code they could put in that would cause the batteries to overheat, which then caused the explosion. Well, as we know with iPhones, sometimes they can overheat.
Right.
I mean, I'm not saying the Chinese would try something like that, but most of your phones are put together in China.
Well, I would hope that U.S. intelligence is taking note of what has just happened.
Yes.
And being aware that, hey, you know, terrorists could try to do that here in the United States.
So, does anybody here still use pagers?
Yeah.
Doctors
do. Do doctors still use them?
Yes, because they're more reliable than cell phones.
Huh.
Well, there's a good point there. Hopefully the U.S.
doctors may not use them for very much longer.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, no kidding. Given that piece of advice or knowledge of what just happened there. Holy cow. Coming up, Shannon Bream is going to join us. We're going to talk to her more about Donald Trump's big speech last night, his appearance on the Gutfeld, which was huge, and our friend Griff Jenkins is in here at 8:35. Stay tuned.
Get more at 971talk.com.